This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, February 27th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll have the Environmental Almanac and a preview of this year's Insect Fear Film Festival in Champaign. Also get a weekend forecast from Mike Sola, first AM 580 News. Even as the state of Illinois faces a historic deficit, Governor Pat Quinn is spending $1 million to reopen 7 state parks. As Amanda Vinicky reports, environmentalists and nature lovers are thrilled.
The barricades have been taken down at state parks former Governor Rod Blagojevich closed in July. Blagojevich says it was a cost-cutting move, but as he reversed his predecessor's directive, Governor Pat Quinn said parks are good for tourism.
We've got to get our economy out of the ditch. Part of doing that is making sure our parks are open.
Norman Nichols is a volunteer who'd campaigned for the reopening of Weldon Springs State Park in Clinton.
We're going to go back and walk the trails. We have a lot of work to do to go back and work on the buildings there that had been closed. But it's just a wonderful day.
It may also be a wonderful day for some of the employees who lost their jobs when the parks closed. Quinn says 12 positions will be restored. Blagojevich also closed a dozen historic sites. Quinn says he also hopes to reopen those soon. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Moraine View State Park in Leroy and Wolf Creek State Park in Windsor were also among the parks reopened yesterday. A resident of Mattoon is one of the 2 soldiers the Illinois Army National Guard has announced were killed this week in Afghanistan. 39-year-old Sergeant Scott Stream was killed along with 25-year-old Specialist Skylar Patch of Galva and 2 other unidentified soldiers in southern Afghanistan on Tuesday. 3 former administrators in the Urbana School District have now received identical sentences for failing to let state officials know about child abuse complaints against a second-grade teacher. John White is now serving a 60-year sentence for molesting 8 of his female students. Prosecutors say the District 116 administrators mishandled parents' suspicions that something was going on in White's classroom. Yesterday, retired Thomas Paine Elementary principal Janice Bradley was sentenced after a brief trial. Her 18-month court supervision matches sentences handed down to former Urbana Superintendent Gene Amberg and former Human Resources Director Carmelita Thomas. Leading Illinois Republicans are accusing Democrats of delaying proposals to hold a special election that could oust U.S. Senator Roland Burris until it's too late. Todd Fuhrer has more.
Democratic Senate President John Cullerton says his legal staff is reviewing an opinion from the Attorney General that says it's constitutional to approve such a special election. Cullerton says the Senate won't move forward on the issue until the review is complete and the House passes its own measure.
We'll see what the House passes. We might look at it, we might modify it, we might change the dates, we might expand it to other elections.
Republicans say the Attorney General's opinion makes it clear they can move forward with a special election. House Republican Leader Tom Cross says the Democrats are simply stalling.
I think it's offensive. These guys are trying to run the clock out, and I don't think you do that. We were here back in December ready to go. I think every day that goes by, it's a stall tactic.
2 state Senate measures that would call for a special election for the U.S. Senate seat have been bottled up in committee. I'm Todd Fuhrer.
A group of black Chicago aldermen yesterday blasted the media and defended embattled Senator Burris. This comes after the Sun-Times reported that Burris's son got a state job 5 months ago in the administration of ousted Governor Blagojevich. The article also said that Roland Burris II faces an income tax lien and a foreclosure lawsuit. Alderman Fredrina Lyle charged that newspapers hadn't run stories about other politicians' children.
The media is taking the liberty of just going above and beyond with this man's son that had nothing to do with anything, putting his personal life out there, and that is what we say is atrocious and must stop now.
In an emailed response, a spokesperson for the Sun-Times wrote, quote, "Our story speaks for itself." Also yesterday, Alderman Lyle said politicians who voted for Senator Burris to step down face political backlash from the black community. Vermilion County's Health Department plans to crack down on bars and restaurants that still let their patrons smoke. Its director, Stephen Laker, says a new clarification of the state's ban on smoking in public places puts a bigger burden of enforcement on local health departments. That means when health officials get a complaint, they'll send a warning letter to that establishment only if there's been no previous complaint. After the first one, Laker says they'll be paid a visit and cited if inspectors find a violation. Laker says his agency has to enforce both food safety and the smoking ban evenly in all establishments with food service permits, including about 60 bars.
Local health department staff were named as enforcing agents. We had no choice in it. But you know what? I don't believe in selective enforcement. We can't enforce food service sanitation regs in a place and ignore the no smoking law. You know, I don't feel we can do that because it seriously impugns our enforcement credibility, capacity and credibility.
Laker says restaurants and bars that get cited for smoking violations can appeal to an administrative law judge, but he says the entire state has only 3 judges to handle those cases. This year's unofficial St. Patrick's Day party on the University of Illinois campus may be getting slightly less advanced publicity from bars, but police will be ready anyway. Champaign police say their plan of enforcement will resemble last year when nearly 200 people were handed citations but no major problems were reported. The informal event usually takes place the Friday before spring break and is not sanctioned by the university. Champaign Police Lieutenant Brad Yonka says State Liquor Control Commission officers will concentrate on watching for alcohol-related violations at bars, while police will concentrate on campus town streets and the dozens of private parties in student apartments.
If they're hosting a party and they're serving to underage individuals, they can be held responsible with adult responsibility ordinances. If they're charging a cover at the door, like say $5 for a cup or something like that, that's also against the law. If they got more than one keg on premise, that's again a violation.
They'll also watch for problems on balconies. Yonka says police will visit any party where there's suspicion of violations or if disorderly people are let in or vehicles are blocking traffic. Increased police presence will be matched with an emergency order in Champaign limiting bar access to anyone 21 or over. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. In this week's Environmental Almanac, Rob Cantor is joined by Rob Mitchell and Scott Shreve to introduce Myriapods, the focus of this year's Insect Fear Film Festival.
If you've been wondering, where can I catch a cheesy film about cave explorers being menaced by giant centipedes? You're in luck. This year's Insect Fear Film Festival, which has been dubbed Centipede Cinema, features just such a production. Suspecting that real-world centipedes harbor no great animosity towards spelunkers, I checked in recently with members of the University of Illinois Entomology Graduate Student Association, which hosts the festival, to find out what does make them tick. EGSA members Rob Mitchell and Scott Shreve collaborated to provide the following account.
Scott here. Well, they're the theme for this year's festival. Centipedes and millipedes, known collectively as myriapods, are not actually insects. Both insects and myriapods belong to the broader group called arthropods because they both have segmented bodies, hard exoskeletons, and jointed legs. The main difference between insects and myriapods is the number of their legs. While insects have only 6, myriapods have a myriad of them, anywhere from 750 to fewer than 10. Millipedes appear to have 2 pairs of legs per body segment because their body segments are fused, while centipedes have only 1 pair of legs per body segment. Millipedes are much slower than centipedes and feed primarily on leaf litter and detritus. Centipedes are predators that feed on a wide range of small critters, including worms, slugs, and insects. Unlike many insects, myriapods are discreet and tend to keep to themselves. Their long, thin bodies are perfect for worming undetected through soil and leaves. Curious and patient searchers should be able to locate them, however. In the home, they are most likely to be found in damp basements and cellars. If you're looking for centipedes outside, try turning over rocks or rotting logs or poking around in the soil while you garden. Most of the centipedes you'll find in nature are in the order Geophyllomorpha. Members of this order are generally about a half an inch long, very thin, and reddish-brown in color.
Rob here. Most people have probably seen one myriapod in particular, the house centipede. If this name doesn't ring any bells, just think of an eerily quick daddy long legs with way too many legs. House centipedes may look scary, but they can't bite people, and they actually eat household pests like roaches and silverfish. If you prefer not to share your house with them, just put them in the garden instead, and you'll be rewarded with fewer insects eating your plants. In tropical regions, there are centipedes that can grow to nearly a foot in length and are capable of inflicting a poisonous bite. For a person, this bite is only about as dangerous as a bee sting, though, and you would have to go to the Amazon rainforest to get it. This Saturday's festival will have some live giant centipedes on display, but people will not be allowed to hold them. Giant millipedes, on the other hand, are safe for handling and will be featured in the petting zoo. The film portion of the festival will kick off with two family-friendly Disney shorts from the 1930s, but parents should be aware that the feature-length films to follow are much heavier on fear and probably not suitable for small children.
The 2009 Insect Fear Film Festival will take place February 28th in Folinger Auditorium on the U of I campus. Admission is free, and festivities begin at 6 p.m. Details are available through the U of I Department of Entomology website.
Rob Cantor is a writer at the University of Illinois Environmental Council. To find out more about Environmental Almanac or to listen to it again, follow the links on our website at will.illinois.edu. And you can read Environmental Almanac on Sundays in the News Gazette. Support for the Environmental Almanac is provided by the U of I School of Integrative Biology. Well, late winter is back in Illinois and Indiana. Today, we'll look for a cloudy, windy, and colder day. In northern and western Illinois, there may be some peaks of sun and maybe some scattered showers early in the day in the south. Highs ranging today from 27 in northwest Illinois to 54 early in the day in far southeast Indiana before temperatures go down there. In Champaign-Urbana, temperatures will be steady in the low 30s, with winds from the north at 15 to 25 miles an hour and gusty. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy, lows from 12 in northern Illinois to 32 in far southern Illinois, 21 in Champaign-Urbana. And for tomorrow, mostly cloudy with light snow and flurries, mainly in west central and southern sections of Illinois. Highs from 25 in northwest Illinois to 36 in southern Indiana. There may be a chance of a snow shower or flurry in Champaign-Urbana tomorrow, with a high of 33 and breezes from the northeast to north at 12 to 24 miles an hour. Clearing on Saturday night and cold, the low 19. Sunny and only 30 on Sunday, 37 on Monday with more sunshine. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, February 27th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.